Steve, you have a big conference coming up called Spark. What is Spark?
Yeah, so Spark is a conference we're hosting with Alberta Innovates, and it's really to support game-changing solutions to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and also advance the bioindustry sector.
What are you going to be doing at Spark?
You know, Spark is a chance to bring together and connect researchers, entrepreneurs, and investors who want to develop and de-risk solutions for a lower carbon future. What I'd also add is Spark is more than just a networking opportunity. It's also an opportunity to showcase what's working and a place to have conversations about what we can do better. It's also a venue for customers to learn about new technologies and ideas. When I say customers, I'm talking about industry, those people that need solutions to the tough challenges that Alberta, Canada, and the world face about transitioning to a lower carbon future. And I guess our hope is that with Spark and the connections made at Spark, we're able to create those linkages that actually accelerate the development of new products and new ideas and take them closer to actual commercialization.
Well, let's look at some of the examples. I understand that you have several streams that people can participate in terms of what they're interested in learning about, with clean technology and what's happening in the biological area. So I'll let you tell me about them.
Oh, that's great. Well, I guess first I should say that we're really pleased that Premier Rachel Notley will be there to join us and provide us with some thoughts on the government of Alberta's approach and commitment to innovation and technology to drive the changes that Alberta needs to be successful. Minister Darren Billis will also be there as the Minister of Economic Development and Trade, because these technologies really have two benefits. One, they have an improved environmental outcome, but they also have an incredible economic return in terms of new industries, new jobs, new companies. So we're very excited about that. Our keynote is Thomas Homer Dixon, the author of The Ingenuity Gap. I was talking with Thomas, and he actually worked in Alberta, so has some real life experience. So he's not coming just as an observer from the outside, but he knows about Alberta. He knows about the oil and gas industry, the culture of Alberta. So I think he'll have some real wisdom about what we need to be doing to move from a resource-based economy and be more successful in an ideas-based economy. We've brought in some of the financiers because there's lots of good ideas, but one of the major challenges is scaling up. So we've got a session around accessing funding. This includes folks from ATB. We've got some of the venture capital fund folks coming in to talk to us. So I think that'll be an exciting conversation, because turning those ideas into companies, people need access to patient capital. So what are some of the things that funders look for in terms of business plans, a clear customer, and how to bridge the valley of death that we often hear about for entrepreneurs? We also have a panel on carbon conversion technologies and for opportunities for Alberta to lead in that area. I think that's really exciting. ERA has a funding opportunity we call a grand challenge, and that's really how do you take carbon from being a waste product to actually converting it to an asset. We've got some really exciting speakers there, and that's a challenge that the world faces, and the potentials there are very, very exciting. We've also got a panel moderated by our board chair, Kathy Sendel, with industry talking about what are the solutions they want. Because if you just have an idea but you don't have a customer to ultimately purchase it, I like to say it's just an expensive hobby. And that panel includes Dan Wicklam from COSIA. That's the Alliance of Oil Sands Companies that are focused on technology. We have a representative from Enbridge. And we also have Michael Carruthers, who is the president and Canada Country Chair for Shell Canada, there. So I think that'll be valuable for the entrepreneurs in the audience to understand it's more than just a good idea. You need a business plan. You need a customer. You need a path forward to commercialization that's more than just an idea. So those are some of the exciting programs on just the first day.
Let's go back to this business of carbon capture and turning carbon dioxide into something useful and valuable, because we've just learned recently that we've emitted in the world far more carbon dioxide than ever before. Are there some things that are actually, you could say, this is real? It's not just an idea, but through the challenge, you've helped people develop something that's really tangible now.
No, great point there, Cheryl, that there are real examples. In our grand challenge, there's two projects that are focused on actually using CO2 to improve the process that creates cement and ultimately concrete. And those processes, by capturing CO2 and injecting it, they reduce the need for water. They create a stronger product, and plus they sequester the CO2 within the cement itself. So in essence, you've created a green building product that's more cost effective and greater strength. So it checks the boxes in a lot of ways. Alberta's also been a bit of a leader in terms of creating a carbon commercialization center. It's part of the Shepherd Power Plant, where entrepreneurs can come in and use the flue gases captured at that facility and test their products. So it's a bit of a sandbox to de-risk the technologies. So those are probably two real-world examples. The Shell Quest project, where the Alberta government invested significantly, is capturing and sequestering over a million tons of CO2 a year. So these are real-world examples where the capture technology is being de-risked and trying to get the economics better, because that's probably the greatest challenge right now. And then the one project we've talked about in terms of cement, part of the challenge is that CO2 is a very hard molecule to break down, so it typically takes more energy than it saves. So allowing people to explore and to debug sort of that technology is really fundamental.
What's happening on the biological side that you're going to be showcasing at Spark?
There's a range of projects there where, on the biologic side, it really is the forest industry, the agriculture industry. It's an opportunity to talk about that sector, because we often focus a lot on the energy sector. So on the biologics, there's opportunities to look at feed additives, methane management around the use of better use of waste landfills, the whole idea of better crop management, and actually using the biological resources as a sink to capture CO2. So there's some real exciting conversations going to happen around all those areas.
How many people are you expecting?
Well, when we when this was first just an idea, we were optimistically hoping for 350 to 400. I'm pleased to say as of today, we've had 450 registered. And in the last few days, we could hit up to 500. So, you know, I think this really is a time where people have a great interest in this. There's that sense of urgency. And I think the other important thing, there's an alignment. It's rare that you see government policy, industry needs, and entrepreneurs all saying, hey, we need to close this technology gap. We have a shared interest in working together and make that happen. And because of that, I think that's why we're getting this sort of interest in this conference that we are.
So with this emphasis now on clean technology, and you also have participation from the big oil companies, what does that say to you about how people are coming together and trying to develop new technologies?
No, that's an excellent point, Cheryl, because, you know, we focus on the technology, but it's much more than technology. It has to be not only technology readiness levels, but commercialization readiness levels. And that's about identifying a customer and solving problems that someone will ultimately buy in the end. So I think the level of collaboration and, again, that shared commitment to moving forward has never been stronger. So having potential customers in the room to explain what they're looking for, what they expect in terms of a business plan, exactly what their problems are, is fundamental to that. And Alberta's oil and gas sector has always had a long history of innovation. I think what's happening now is a recognition that we need to accelerate the speed that adoption happens. We probably have to adjust our risk tolerance levels to allow that acceleration to happen. And so I think the fact that industry, not just the oil and gas, but the whole biologic sectors in the room, is to allow us to shorten those decision cycles and be more purposeful and focused on how we do accelerate ideas into products and products into companies.
I would think also, too, from an economic point of view, that these new technologies, once things get commercialized, they're accepted in the marketplace, that this will actually help us break out of the boom and bust cycle with oil and gas.
No, I think that's one of the dividends that Alberta, Canada, and the world expects out of this is, you know, how do you transition from a resource-based economy to more of an ideas economy? And the opportunities we're creating support that resource-based, for sure. It drives down both costs, and we need to be more cost-competitive in this province, but it also drives down carbon. So I think there's a dual return there. But it's that innovation ecosystem that you create. It's that entrepreneurial spirit. It's the creation of new types of thinking jobs. It's applying the wisdom we've learned in our resource industries to new industries. And Alberta for years has been trying to diversify the economy and sort of, as you said, create a little more of an ongoing, stable revenue streams, job streams. And I think this will do that by forcing us to look outside the sort of the more traditional industries and the application of technology knowledge to those industries and say, how else can we take carbon and turn it into hockey sticks, our carbon fiber, our improved cement products, or reduce the amount of water we're using, or how do we take our forestry and use it more effectively in terms of biomass and access to other renewable energy sources like green hydrogen and opportunities like that. So I think you're absolutely right. This is a way to diversify the economy and allow us to be more successful at what's looking to be a lower carbon future.
So Emissions Reduction Alberta is hosting Spark along with Alberta Innovates. What brought the two of you together?
Well, that's a great question. It goes back to that partnership. We've had a long-standing relationship with Alberta Innovates. Alberta Innovates actually provides us with the scientific expertise that allows us to select projects with the greatest promise. It is an ecosystem. You need to collaborate and avoid duplication and make sure that there's seamless handoffs between organizations. And I think the relationship between Alberta Innovates and ERA is a perfect example of that. Their staff sit on our executive team. I work very closely with our CEO, Laura Kilcrest, to make sure that our business plans are aligned and projects don't have to navigate between us, that we act as that air traffic controller and make sure good ideas that show up at their doorstep are easily passed on to us and vice versa. So that partnership has been a longstanding, strong one. And this conference just reinforces that. And I think it demonstrates to industry and entrepreneurs, we get the need for alignment and partnership to be successful. And we're showing that we know how to close that gap and we know how to build on each other's strengths and make sure that when a good idea shows up, there's that seamless pathway toward commercialization.
If you put Spark in a nutshell, what would be the take-home message?
I think that it's clear that the world has set very ambitious targets in terms of its climate change ambitions. And for Alberta, there's gaps in terms of that transition to a lower carbon economy. So in a nutshell, Spark is about bringing together all the right players to have a conversation on what's worked in the past, what do we need to do differently to be successful in the future, and then to get on with doing that.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Great. It's a pleasure.